Last couple weeks, we've talked about the importance of the Word, and I want to get into a couple things today. I mentioned as we were going, like the last time, mentioned a little bit of that, but I have some things to wrap up concerning these things. So if we look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, if you didn't hear the message, we'll catch you up, but those are available, all the places we put the messages. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, it says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." In the NIV, it says, "We also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it is, as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." In the Amplified, it says, "We also thank God continually for this, that when you receive the word of God concerning salvation," is just a comment there. That's what they receive, but this applies across the board. "However you receive the word of God concerning any truth, it has the same effect." It says, when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its inherent supernatural power in those of faith. Hebrews 4:11 says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." Actually, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but that all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In the NIV, verse 12 says, "The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So the word of God is all these things. The word of God, if we receive it as the word of God, the word of truth, then it will affect our lives. And here the Hebrews, it says it's alive and active. It penetrates to the dividing of soul and spirit. So the word of God will locate us. That God knows exactly where we are, and the Word of God will show these things up too. As we look to the Word and determine that whatever the Word says, we're going to accept it as truth and put it into our lives, then we'll have the results of it. If we decide to live in our own opinion or somebody else's philosophy, then we're not going to have the results of God's Word. We've got to make the decision that what the Word of God says, that is what I accept as true, and I believe it, and I accept it, not as the Word of just people, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And as we do that, then the Word of God can be alive and powerful in our lives. It can change us. It quickens us. It does everything that it said, the Word of God says it will do. John 8:31 and 32 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" You shall know the truth, because you abide in my word, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is what's going to make you free. It's what's going to make me free. The word will make us free. Yes. Everybody say this. Say the word. The word. God's word. God's word will make me free. See, the word I accept, it'll make me free. If it's not, if I don't accept it as the word, then it's not going to make me free. The truth will make me free. Nothing else will do that. The Word of God will do it, but no other entity, no, if no other philosophy is going to truly set us free. You might get relief. You might get a little bit of success, but the Word of God will make you truly, completely free. And so that's something we all want. We all want to walk in freedom. We all want to walk in truth. Well, the Word of God is the way that becomes active in our life. Now, look at Ephesians 1:13. I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to be pivoting into something this morning. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth." It says the word of truth. You trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you have believed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise after you believed, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So here it says, after you heard the word of truth about salvation, you also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of His creatures." The word of truth. He brought us forth by the word of truth. It's calling the Bible, the word of God, the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So the word of truth, the Bible, can be wrongly divided or it can be rightly divided. In other words, you can hear the word of God, and if you don't divide it right, you end up with the wrong conclusion. You could read, people do it all the time. They put scripture on other thoughts that aren't actually supported by scripture because they've wrongly divided the word of truth. In other words, they've taken scripture out of context or they've tried to make it say something that it doesn't say. They're not rightly dividing it. They're not saying, they're not looking at the word of God. Like we talked about the Bereans last week in Acts, not going to take time to turn there, that they heard the word preached, but then they searched the scriptures to determine if these things were so. So you can hear somebody say something, preach something, you can read something, you can see a social media post on something. Somebody just putting something and they have, somebody's talking and they got scripture over it, you know, as the person's talking, they can have what they're saying, but they can also have scripture, and it makes it seem like what they're saying is biblical. It may be, it may not be. It depends on if they rightly divided the word of truth and whether it's going to impact you or impact me is going to be determined by what we do with it. Are we opening our mouth, you know, figuratively, our minds and just ingesting these things and go, "Oh, look at that account. They say they're Christian and this and their account. And wow, they have all these followers and wow, must be good." And I just look at it and just take it in and take it in and take it in. And are we dividing? Are we determining if what they're saying is the Bible, is actually the Bible? We talked about that some. So you can rightly and wrongly divide the word of truth. You can rightly divide it. That means you're actually being honest and looking at the scripture. And the way you interpret the Bible is with the Bible. You know, background and context is all good to help us understand the Bible, but you got, at the end of the day, you got to come down to what does the Bible actually say? Well, this one verse, if you look at all, somebody could say all the context and all the background and this history and everything, it's actually meaning this. Well, you know, if it does mean that, it'll be corroborated with other scriptures. You don't take a verse and like
read a commentary and go, oh, or all these people's opinions, and they're telling you what it means, and you're looking and you're like, well, if you do all these gymnastics, I kind of see it, and you can't find any other scriptures that say that, then throw it out. They're not rightly dividing the word. And we talked about some of that last week. Look at down into the next chapter in 2 Timothy, but you must continue, 2 Timothy 3:14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. He's talking to Timothy, and he's saying, you've known the Holy Scriptures from childhood. Can you know the Scriptures as a child? Yes, Timothy did. And it says, you've known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. So you can know the Scriptures, and then the Scriptures will make you wise. Here it says for salvation, but the Scriptures will make you wise. If you know the Bible, it'll make you wise. It'll make you spiritually wise. And it'll help you. This is one aspect. It'll help you to determine. It's a filter. It's the ultimate filter where when you hear what somebody says, whether in person, whether online, whether in a sermon, it is determining how it's making you wise. To say, is that true? And you're putting it up against the filter of the Scripture you know. That's why it's good to know the Bible. Now, wherever you're at, whatever Bible you know, don't condemn yourself. Don't go, I should know more Bible. We would like to know more. But wherever you're at, be there and know that don't ever let something override the word that you do know. Now, there's another aspect to this we're going to talk about in just a moment. But the Bible, if we know the Word of God, it's able to make us wise. Because if somebody says something, and you can think of one scripture that contradicts what they're saying, don't ignore that. You say, wait a minute, what about so-and-so? Don't ignore that and go, well, I'm sure they thought about that. Don't worry about it. They may have. But for you, for me, we've got to know that I've got to understand that the Bible says this. Otherwise, I'm accepting a man's doctrine, a man's opinion, and now I'm setting myself up to be in the wrong place. And you could say, well, but I like it. I like what they're saying. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter if I like it or it appeals to some part of me. Maybe that's a wrong part of me that needs to change. Maybe it's some way I grew up or some of my friends. It's like, yeah, I like that. That sounds good. That means, you know, I can live this way and it's scriptural. And something inside of you is telling you, no, it's not. And if you can think scriptures that contradict you, you're like, no, that may sound good, that may sound fun, but it's not the Bible. I don't want to follow that because it's going to end in destruction if it's not the Word. Now look at the next the next verses then. So it says, you can know, he said, Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Now look at the next part. Verse 16, all Scripture... So he just said, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation and everything else through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, let me just say this. So it's saying all the Scripture, it's given by inspiration of God. We're going to come back to that. But notice, it's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete or mature, perfect, thoroughly equipped. So that's what the Word of God will do. Look at the NIV. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Word of God, the Scripture, will equip us thoroughly for every good work. In other words, to be navigating, for be living this life thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God will show up. It's good for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training. The Word of God will do all these things. And so it's what we need to become thoroughly equipped, to become perfect, to become able to navigate this world. But I want you to go back to the beginning, or verse 16. Let's read it in the New King James, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then he said, God breathed. It's given by inspiration of God. So the Word of God will do all these things we've been talking about. It's given by the inspiration of God. And specifically, the way that's given and was given is by the Holy Spirit. Look at John 14, verse 15. It says, if you love me, this is Jesus speaking, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now, we read how many scriptures that talked about the Word of truth. We have the Word of truth. Well, you know who the author of the Word of truth is? The Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that inspired, moved men to write the words that we now have as Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's good for all these things, doctrine and so forth, teaching, rebuking, so forth. Well, the Spirit of truth is the one that did the inspiring. And we're going to see the Spirit of truth, the one that inspired the Word of God, is now in us. So you have the author of the Word of God living on the inside of you. The one that wrote, that inspired the Word of God, which we've been talking about, the Word of God is our standard. But as New Testament, as Christians living in the New Covenant is, that's how we are Christians. We're not just relating to God based on a previous covenant. We have the author of the book on the inside of us. So not only do we have the Word of God that we can read, but we have the one that wrote it on the inside of us. And we're going to see this to bear witness with, to communicate with us truth that will always agree with the Word of God. Amen. And here's the thing, whether you or I know a specific scripture that covers a case, even if you were ignorant of the written Word of God in a situation, the Spirit of God will always lead you in accordance with the Word that He inspired. Amen. He will never violate it. Amen. So this is why it's good to know the Word of God, and we want to grow in the Word of God. But even if you were a baby Christian, just born again, didn't know by heart any scripture, could sort of halfway know a little bit, you could be in a situation and the Word of the Spirit of God will quicken you on the inside and tell you, I'm not talking about an audible voice, but just by impression, bearing witness, nope, don't do that. That's not for you anymore. You're a king's child now. You don't need to be involved in that. And on the inside, you will know. And you know what else you know? People can... We're talking about through different avenues. social media, movies, whatever, that somebody could try to portray something that's of God and put a scripture on there, and what they're saying, something on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit will say, that's not true. If it's true, the Spirit of God in you will bear witness with the truth. If it's true, it'll be the Holy Spirit will say, yep, 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 that's true. You'll have a bearing witness with it. And here's the thing. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit abiding on the inside. Now, there's an additional experience being filled with the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in other tongues, and that's endowment of power and for service. But every Christian, when they become a Christian, when they declare Jesus as their Lord and Savior, when they declare Jesus as their Lord and Savior, has the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth on the inside of them. Now let's look at some more about this. Let's go back to John 14, verse 15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father." Now, this is Jesus saying, this is before the new covenant. Jesus hasn't died. His death, burial, and resurrection isn't complete. So nobody is a Christian at this point. So he's talking about what's coming. But the Holy Spirit's always been around. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was hovering over the earth at creation. The Spirit of God would come on people in the Old Testament. Would come on prophets and kings. And the Spirit of God, he would, if you look back, he would empower workers to work. Mm-hmm. They were empowered. So the Spirit of God has always been here, but we have a different covenant where the Spirit of God now actually comes to reside in us. Amen. They didn't have that in the Old Testament, not that way. Verse 16, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." So he's a helper. Verse 17, "the Spirit of truth." So we have the Word of God, the Word of truth. Now we see the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So he's saying he's around at this point, but he's going to be in you. He's talking about when they became born again. When he ascended, when he was raised from the dead, now that people could become born again. He said, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." Verse 18. So we're not orphans. We're not alone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have the Holy Spirit, the one that created. That was the power behind creation. We have the one that inspired all the Word of God. He resides on the inside of us. Now, to quicken the Word to us, to lead us in life, to help us know what the plan and purpose of God is for our lives. The Word, you can have the general counsel of God through the written Word, but the written Word does not tell you or me exactly what we should do in our lives, specifically. The Holy Spirit will do that. He will lead us. He'll guide us. He'll tell you. He'll work with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never lead us outside of the Word of God. He'll never lead us contrary to the Word of God. But we have the Holy Spirit is going to help us navigate. So you have, it's like you have a map. Like if you were navigating, you have a map telling you the lay of the land, but it'd be like, it's not a good example for some of the map programs because they are so fallible, like, you know, Siri or Google Maps or whatever. But it'd be like you have somebody in an earpiece in your ear that knows the map, that could tell you where to go, and you have them in your ear. Now you got the map and you got somebody reminding you and telling you what to do. Now, you with those two things, you can definitely get where you need to go. Well, God gave us the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of us to enlighten us and to lead us in line with the truth. So let's look at just a little bit further down in John. John 15:26. It says, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So he will always bring up Jesus. He will not lift up a man. That he will always lift up Jesus. Magnify Jesus. When you see a spirit that puffs up a person, it's not God. When you see something on social media that's puffing up a person, I'm not saying everything's done intentionally, but that spirit, God does not, the Holy Spirit does not puff up people. John said, I must decrease, he must increase, I must decrease, John the Baptist. When you see that, and it's all about a personality, that's just like the world does. That's the spirit of the world. We're just vessels that God works through, that flows through. How are you going to know? Because you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you and you have the Word of God. Somebody says something that violates the Word of God, you know, intentional or not, that's not God's Word. You see something that feels off on the inside. We're going to see this. You see something that feels off on the inside. Don't ignore that. Don't ignore that. Don't ignore what the Word of God says, and don't ignore when you're like, I don't know. I mean, that was a good truth, but that just seems off. Something's bothering you on the inside. Something, it feels gross. I'm talking about right in here. Your spirit, man, is the real you. Like a scratchy feeling. Spiritual things, a lot like natural things, but sometimes spiritual things can be hard to convey naturally. It's not your stomach, but there is something about people. People even say naturally, you know, I felt in my gut there was something off. A lot of times that's, God can be trying to get somebody's attention. But as a New Testament Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. And so don't ignore that. You've got something on the inside. When it's God, it'll bear witness. The Holy Spirit will bear witness that something is of Him. How are you going to know if something's true or not? Well, number one, it lines up with the Word of God. Put the Word of God first. Because some people all over will say, God told me this. This is what I'm prophesying. Or God. And you know how you judge it? You judge it by the Word of God, number one. If it violates Scripture, it's not God. I don't care who said it. I don't care how many people think it's God. If it violates Scripture, it's not. And you and I can be armed in this day and age. No, you don't have to be deceived. You ought to be very careful what you let into your eyes and ears. Don't just, I'm just going to just see what they have to say. You stop and say, why do I even have to put it in my head? Because you think, well, I'm solid, so I can just take all this. But why would you want to? Is it somebody that you really need to hear? If it's not somebody that preaches the Word of God and you know it's solid on the Word of God, it's not good to just flip through little reels and just be injecting that stuff in your head, because that can derail you. You're just opening yourself up to whatever is motivating that person is going into you, going into your mind, going into your heart. And if we think we're just not susceptible to it and we can just mess with it, we're deceived. We're just opening ourselves up to whatever spirit, everything that person has ingested in their life, you know, mentally and spiritually, ideas, thoughts, philosophies. We're just opening our heart and our mind up to it and letting it just go in, and it bounces around, and then we don't have clarity in life. And if we'll listen, the Spirit of God on the inside is trying to get our attention and say, don't watch that. Don't listen to that. It's not good for you. That'd be just like opening herself up. I mean, think about it. You know, you go, you don't know. If you did not know, this is a contrived example, but if you just had a bunch of things on a table to eat that you had no idea, like they didn't even look like familiar things. You had no idea where they came from. And people are, you were walking through a market in some foreign country and thing looked dirty and all that. And you're just like, well, just try this and try this and try that. And you don't know who these people are. You don't know what you might end up with. That's a lot different than you being at somebody's house that they're cooking you a meal and you trust them or a trusted restaurant or something. And you're like, this is good. I've eaten here. I know it's good. But see, when we just throw everything in, we're opening ourselves up. But here's the point. The Spirit of God will alert you to that. He'll alert you to just when somebody says something, there's something on the inside that's going to be bearing witness saying, that's not me. Who's me? The Holy Spirit that wrote the book that is the Spirit of truth. In other words, that's not true. And we have him with us. Talking about the Word of God, but the Spirit of God is the one that wrote the Word of God. So how they work together. But don't ever put don't say God told me above it is written. If you put the Word of God first, you will not get into error. But the moment somebody goes, well, I know what the Bible says, but God told me, that's where people get off. Well, I know I don't have a lot of scripture for it, but that ought to be a red warning. We don't have scripture for it, then why are we accepting it? We got to know that in our own life. Verse 27, John 15, 27 says, let's read 26 again. When the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, that who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So he will elevate Jesus. And you also will bear witness because you have seen me from the beginning. You're going to testify of me. Let's go to John 16, 12, next chapter. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Let's read verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So he will guide you according to the Word of God, and he will guide you into everything related to the Word of God, whether you know the Word of God or you don't, whether something's good for your life or not good for your life. In other words, in line with the mind of God on something or not. Number one, it'll line up with the Word of God. Number two, it will line up with God's plan for your life. It's the same thing. He's going to be bearing witness. We're going to read that in a minute. He's going to be bearing witness with us, in other words, yep, that it's a confirmation. Yep, that's the direction. That's good. That's right. That's what you're looking for. Not something that's, I'll use this example. I used it before, but we had a woman, but there was a woman at Rhema when we attended there that worked in the children's department. Her name was Dixie, right? Dixie worked with children and was anointed to work with children. And she had this illustration when she's talking about the Holy Spirit to children, young children. And she had two gloves. I don't remember if they were like oven mitts that she had, you know, worked with or something, but they weren't just like five-finger gloves, but they were like, I think, mitts. And on one, she had, it was like velvety, nice material. And she had the kids, you know, put their hands on that and feel it. And she said, you feel that? They're like, yeah. She goes, that's what the Holy Spirit feels like on the inside. When it's the Holy Spirit, that's what it's like. It's that velvety, yeah, good. And then she had another one that was rough, and I don't know what she had on it, you know, sandpaper or something. And then she had the children feel that. Feel that? It's rough. Yeah, it's rough. She goes, that's when it's not the Holy Spirit. When the Holy, that's what we would call like a check or something. The Holy Spirit saying, nope, that's not the right thing. See, that's what it feels like. It feels icky. It feels scratchy. And that's what it feels like on the inside. The Holy Spirit, when it's the right thing, when it's truth, whether you knew the scripture or not, again, we want to know the word of God, we put it first, but whether you knew it or not, you're saying something's off about that. That scratchy feeling, I don't know why, just it's mixture. And you can say, but they said this, it was so good. But then they say that, it's off. There's oftentimes a mixture. Do you realize that people can yield to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, but then with the next breath, yield to a familiar spirit or something that's not godly? And people can go back and forth, and you're like, it's confusing. The Holy Spirit will alert you and say something wrong. Because you could yield to the Spirit of God and it's true, but then the next breath it's yielding to something that's demonic and it can mess with you. And that's why then people are confused. They're like, yeah, but this person, and especially if they've operated any supernatural. People say, oh, well, they always hear from God. No. How are you going to know? The Word of God, but when it's God, the Holy Spirit's going to be that velvety, yes, that's the Spirit of truth. It's bearing witness on the inside. It's the Word of God. I can see it, and just feels velvety. Yes, that's, yes, the Spirit of God saying, it's true. That's me. That's me. That's the right path. That's the way He'll tell you which way to go. You're thinking about making a decision. You're looking at that, and it's not always that super icky feeling. It's the degree of how wrong it is. But if it's just, see, there's velvety, just seems good. Yes, this is, and I'm talking about mind, and I'm not talking about your flesh. Yeah. Yes, it seems good to eat that whole pizza right now. No, that's just the voice of your flesh. But no, in the inside, you got to locate your spirit. Yes, seems good to, yeah, it's good. I mean, there's different degrees of, yeah, but it's good. Seems good to, it doesn't seem settled. Nah, I don't think so. Two, very, very scratchy. No, get away. Two, very warning. Leave now. Don't even go near it. Drop it. Don't read that book. Don't follow that cat. Don't see that movie. Get out. Now, if you know the Word of God, you could look at the title and go, I'm not watching that. Or you saw the trailer and you're like, nah. But there's things that look, I've had, I'll be honest with you, there's things as we were raising our kids that, you know, you're looking for good movies. Maybe this will help somebody. You're looking for, not that you have to watch movies all the time, but, you know, if you want to watch one, you want it to be good. And there's certain things that it's like, I mean, the description looks okay. It's not a bad rating. Could be rated G, could be rated PG. I mean, it's, you read it, it's like, it looks like a family movie, but that just seems like there's something off with it. And there's been times that I've been like, just doesn't seem, but, you know, we're all human. Get in your head and you go, we'll watch it. Let's see. Because it doesn't seem like there's anything, but, and we'll start watching it. And then there's a point where they start talking about stuff that could be flat, just wrong, or it's just the backdrop and it violates scripture, or it's giving an indication that you just don't need God. But there could be things that it's like witchcraft or something in it, and it's subtle. It's like, whoa, there's stuff in there. And it's like, yep, see, I should have listened. And we shut it off. I've done it. Have I done it? Then I get a witness. Yes. And they're like, nope, we're done. And I was like, I knew it. And I tell Shelley, why? I knew it. But you're like, you know, again, I'm human. You're like, but, you know, but it doesn't, I don't see anything. It looks okay. I don't want to be too hard. You can't go by the rating. There's G-rated movies. I would tell you, now G, you go back to the 70s, and the G is like everything. There's stuff I wouldn't watch today that are G. I'm talking about even in the, that's a whole thing. PG in the 80s, good night. It's at least PG-13. There's PG, it's like, no. But I'm talking about like G, like GG, like a cartoon. And there's things that are wicked. Yeah. There's cartoons that are quote-unquote classic. They are wicked. They are witchcraft. They are evil. You don't need the Holy Spirit to tell you. But you know what? Here's the deal. Depending on how you came up, depending on your background, depending on what you've seen, it might seem like, well, everybody else did that and it's fine. But if you'll pay attention, I mean, you think it's fine, you pay attention, the Holy Spirit says it's not fine for you. Not fine. He's trying to lead you in a way and tell you, you may have been around that. You may have accepted it as normal. Everybody else may have done it. But, and you may not even be knowing the scriptures that violate it, but the Holy Spirit wrote the book and he'll say, not for you. Get away. And so we've got the Word of God that we can know, but we have the Spirit of God that will warn us even if we don't know, in line with the Word. Now let me read Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," I'm going to fill in some blanks here, stuff I've referred to, but some of these scriptures we've already kind of been talking about these things, but these will give you some verses. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." That's daddy. Abba means father. So father, father. Verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God. We know we're children of God by the fact that the Word of God says, if we declare with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart, God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So you know by the Word of God, but when you are a Christian, then you've received Jesus, this Holy Spirit on the inside of you, who now has become resident on the inside of you, is going to go, yep, you're a children of God. He's going to bear witness on the inside. If you look on the inside, he's going to be that velvety, yep, you're a child of God. Yep, the Word of God's true. Yep, this is for you. And so that bearing witness with, the Holy Spirit will do that to tell you if something is in line with his Word, if it's in line with the plan of God, or if it's against the Word or against the plan of God. Now look at a couple more verses. Verse 1 John 2:26 says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you," the anointing, the Holy Spirit, "and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Now this is saying, look, verse 26, "These things I have written to you concerning those that are trying to deceive you." So people are trying to deceive them. Verse 27, "But the anointing," now you got to take this in context, "but the anointing," that's the Holy Spirit, "which you have received from him abides in you." So he's saying these people are trying to deceive you, or things are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you have, the Holy Spirit on the inside that abides in you, you have received. And you do not need that anyone should teach you. Now, he's not saying generally you don't. People use this to say, see, we don't need teachers in the body of Christ. That contradicts Scripture. John is literally teaching them right now. He is writing them to teach. You don't take a scripture out of context. Ephesians 4:11. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He gave gifts unto men that we would grow up. There's other verses. So you don't say, well, this verse says we don't need anybody to teach us. That contradicts the Bible. So you rightly divide and say, well, it's not saying that we don't need teachers. That's obviously what it's not saying. That's an example of rightly dividing. We're saying, well, I see that. So this must mean something else. And in context, what he's saying is these people are trying to deceive you, but you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You don't need somebody to tell you whether what's right or wrong. You got the Spirit of God that's going to tell you. That's wrong. They're trying to deceive you. You don't need some, in other words, you don't need some person telling you something is wrong. You have the Spirit of God, and you can determine whether it's wrong or not just because you have the Spirit of God and can say, well, is this scratchy? Holy Spirit's trying to warn me. Is it good? See, I don't need somebody else to go, because otherwise you got a person that you have to ask all the time. You don't need your parents. I mean, you listen to your parents if you're in children, but as an adult, you don't need your parent. You don't need your pastor. I, as a pastor, do not want people. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Now, can you get counsel? Can you talk to somebody? Can God use people to bring things out? Of course. But that's different than determining what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Is this wrong or right? Now, you can shed some light on stuff and God can use that. But if you think you need another person all the time to lead you and guide you, we're not operating the fullness of what we should be as Christians. We have the Holy Spirit with the Word of God. We listen. Like right now, we're listening to teaching. We can talk to people and bounce, hey, what do you think? I'm here. And the Spirit of God can quicken us and enlighten, and you should take advantage of those things when God leads you to do that. But that's different than, I can't make this decision on myself. I need to talk to somebody. I have to go through my pastor or something. See, that's like a priest. Jesus is our high priest. In the New Testament, you don't need that. You've got the Word of God. You got the Spirit of God. And we want to grow. We want to grow. Now, at the beginning, somebody that's really godly is not going to tell you what to do. They're going to give you the truth and let you make the decision. The Spirit of God doesn't control us. The Spirit of God enlightens us and frees us so then that we can see. So let's finish this up. Verse 27, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches. The Holy Spirit will guide you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now one final verse, 1 John 4, verse 4. Just a few chapters later, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So you could say, he who is in you is greater than anything that's in the world. It's any other voice that it's in the world. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that is in us, is greater than he who is in the world. It's greater than the devil. Greater than evil. We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And so then he says, let's read verse 4 again. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater. Everybody say greater. Than he who is in the world. Verse 5, they are of the world. Talking about people that aren't godly. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He's saying the people that know God, they'll hear us. They'll say, yep, that's God. Why? Because they have the same spirit on the inside of them going, yep, that's the word of God. That's the truth of God. And the people that don't accept the Spirit of God, they're rejecting it because they don't have the Spirit of God. And he said, by this you can know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How would you know if somebody said, oh, this is a prophecy from God? The Bible says to judge. You're not to judge people and judge people's hearts, but you are to judge actions and utterances, prophecies. Oh, you 100% do. It is not mean to say that wasn't God. There's scripture, and on the inside, with what I know, that's not God. The Spirit of God's saying, nope. It's not just critical. I'm not saying you get a critical spirit, but we are supposed to do that. We're supposed to say, no, because otherwise we'll just accept everything. Will they come as a Christian? You're deceived that way. And every one of us has the equipment on the inside to discern, and we need it. In the day we're living in, you can't even tell video-wise what's real and not. They can mimic voices. They have people that were well-known and trusted videos saying things they never said.
That's right.
Teachers of the word that are rock solid in the past, and they're not, maybe have left the earth already, and they have videos of them saying stuff they never said. You say, well, this person's saying that. Is it the word of God? Is it authentic? What's going on inside of it? On the inside of us? We need it. And we have it. The word of God, the word of truth, the spirit of truth together, we will not be deceived. We'll be able to navigate in these times. Amen.